Here.
Ms. Voorhees?
Here.
I move to approve the minutes.
Second.
No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Unfortunately, the person from communications that was supposed to address committee this evening is ill and not able to attend. Ms. Kershaw is also at a pre-scheduled meeting at the community center, so she was not able to attend. However, she provided me the information you see up on the screen to talk about some of the department responsibilities, what marketing and communications does. They're responsible for all external communications. They communicate on behalf of administration and each department within government. That includes capital projects, events, initiatives, and programs. They interact with the media on a daily basis. They lead the communication efforts for large-scale city changes, such as changes in utility billing, solid waste, public meetings, etc. They support the mayor and council at community events. They support the mayor and council with community outreach through programs like Neighborhood Watch, town halls, and faith-based groups, etc. They support all departments with written, audio, and video communication needs. They do video production as well as graphic design, social media marketing, news releases, copywriting, presentation creation, speech writing, road closures, boil water notices, water main breaks, utility or stormwater projects, employee recognition programs, employee team meetings, and benefit fairs. Communications department representative serves on various teams for the city. They're responsible for technical production of council meetings and workshops, including video and audio outputs. They create and update web pages on the city website. They respond to resident questions and concerns on social media, Nextdoor, city website, emails, phone calls, in person, etc. They plan and facilitate city groundbreaking or ribbon cutting events. They provide communication and marketing collateral for large community engagement initiatives like the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, the Imagine 2050 Comprehensive Plan, and Prosperity 2035. They plan and facilitate the State of the City event. They provide written and visual support to the Economic Development Department. They partner with customer service to try and reduce call volume, includes tracking hotspots, hot topics from residents, and adjusting best way to provide information, creating an automated option to provide information over the phone, or creating how-to articles, videos, to explain solutions to common issues easily. They provide routine updates on major projects. They provide public safety messaging. They do a weekly e-newsletter. They create, plan, and facilitate quarterly meetings with various agencies, as well as doing emergency communications. And this kind of tells you what they do as far as emergency communications. So what I did want to bring to your attention, the committee had asked about doing more public outreach and communications to residents as far as stormwater goes, and get some information out. And I just wanted to bring you up to date. If you go on the city website, they do have an area where they have various videos that talk about the stormwater system. They give you all kinds of information. What's a ditch? How does it function? How do swales function? There's one about culverts. So there's a lot of different just short little videos that are available on the city's website for the public to take a look at. So when a new video does come out, they do advertise it. They do put the information out there on the city, not only the city website, but in the newsletters, they let them know that there's a new video out there. And we've probably got 6 or 8 videos out there about various areas of the stormwater system, how it operates, and customer responsibilities. I'll also let you know that the stormwater department has a community outreach coordinator. And anytime a resident goes on and does a Palm Coast Connect case, which is what we encourage residents to do, is to go on the city website and put in a Palm Coast Connect case if you have a question or you have a problem with any city department. And that will go immediately to the department. And the goal is to have it responded to within 3 business days. So you'll get a response within 3 business days. I know stormwater, we try to give a response the same day, if at all possible. Of course, weekends, we're not there, so it may take up to 3 days. If we get one on a Friday late afternoon, you may not see a response until Monday. So I don't know if that one is online. I know that the communications department asked me for it most recently, and they were doing something with that to make it available to the public. Yes, ma'am. And all of the presentations that we have given to the city council is also available online. If you go to the city's YouTube page, they have a lot of videos available. Is there any other questions you have from... I do apologize on behalf of communications. They did plan to be here, but unfortunately, one of their employees was sick at the last minute, so they were not able to attend. So with the agenda, this time I sent out a copy of the stormwater brochure. So I wasn't sure if everybody had the opportunity to review the stormwater brochure. Okay. So that stormwater brochure is something that we try to get out at all city events. We have them available at customer service, at City Hall. We have booths at various city events where we have those brochures available. And many of our staff carry them in their vehicles so that we can provide that to the resident when we're out within the city. So we believe that's a pretty comprehensive brochure. If you have any recommendations to improve it, please let us know. We'll be happy to take a look at that. I don't know about First Friday events, but we do quite a few events annually. We only have one staff that attends those, and she tries to get to all of them. We were at the Citizens Academy alumni event most recently. We attend those.
Jessica was just asking, there's nothing about addressing any time frames as far as talking about the culverts?
The culverts, yeah. Because I remember in a past meeting, we put like a yellow card or a red card.
Yes. So we developed a new protocol for culverts.
Mm-hmm.
When we get a Palm Coast Connect case for a culvert inspection, generally our citizen outreach person will call the resident, let them know their responsibilities as far as a culvert goes. But then we do schedule an inspection, and an inspector will go out and look at the culvert and determine if it needs to be serviced. When they go out and they look at the culvert, they will issue a green, yellow, or red tag to it, if you will. And green means that the culvert is clear, whether our city staff are going to go clean the culvert or we'll notify the resident and let them know. If the culvert is what we call condition yellow means that it's starting to show signs of deterioration and it's starting to be compromised. Many of the culverts that we go and inspect are 30 to 50 years old already. So they've already reached their useful life. They're steel pipes. They're in Florida. They're in the ground. They're deteriorating. So we give them what we send it over to code enforcement with a condition yellow, which means that it is starting to be compromised. And what happens then is that code enforcement will send the resident a letter, and it's a courtesy letter. And I think I gave you guys the courtesy letter at the last meeting. The courtesy letter says to the resident that, hey, you're starting to see signs of corrosion inside this culvert pipe. The culvert pipe belongs to the resident. It is part of their driveway, just like if your driveway is cracked or something else is wrong with the driveway. The culvert pipe is part of that driveway structure. It's installed when the driveway goes in, and it needs to periodically be replaced. So we let them know that, and we let them know that we're going to be back in 365 days to reinspect the culvert pipe. So that gives the resident notice that there's an issue with the culvert pipe. That notice also goes with the property. So what they'll do is they'll open a case in code enforcement. Although there's no violation, the case gets posted so that if the house sells in that 365 days and they do a search on the property, they will get a copy of that notice because it doesn't extend the 365 days, but it lets the potential homeowner know that there may be an issue upcoming with that culvert pipe at some point in time. We thought that was important because properties do change hands, and we wanted to make sure that a new homeowner coming in would be aware that the previous homeowner was notified of a potential issue with the culvert pipe and that it will need to be replaced in the near future, but it wasn't an immediate threat. So that's a code yellow. Code red means that the culvert pipe has collapsed or is preventing water flow through the swale and impacting the neighbors. So that code red violation, we give that resident 90 days to replace the culvert pipe. And the reason for 90 days, because normally a code violation would give them a 30-day notice, a 30 days to remedy. And we decided that we needed to give a culvert pipe 90 days simply for the fact that if you've ever tried to get a permit or a contractor on board, you can't do that within 30 days. So we felt that 90 days was more practical. In addition, the cost of replacing that culvert pipe and that portion of concrete driveway is not cheap. So not everybody would have that kind of money sitting in the bank and be able to put that money out there. So we felt that 90 days was sufficient. So that's the red, yellow, green protocol for culvert pipes. We also have a new door hanger that we've just come out with, notifying residents when we do go out and do an inspection, letting them know that the culvert pipe is their responsibility and they are supposed to keep that culvert pipe clear at all times. So that is their responsibility. And we've got a new door hanger that we provide to the residents when we do inspections just to notify them. Because 95% of the time, the residents have no idea that that culvert pipe is theirs to maintain. So we don't just go out and clean out culverts. And by the way, we've surveyed quite a few open swale systems throughout Florida, and not one of the other municipalities cleans culvert pipes. So let me just make that clear. We have not found another municipality out there that does that service for their residents. However, when we go out, when the city goes out and gets ready to do some work in the swale, So we have a couple different ways to do swale work now. Historically, we did just a full regrade of the run. From the high spot of the swale to the outfall is what we consider a run. When we would go and do the run, we would go through and clean all the culvert pipes before we would come in with the grade all and regrade the swales. So that is one way that the culvert pipes get cleared. The other way is when we do when we just take out the high spots. So we will also clean culverts on the high spots when we do a run, when we service a run. The newest thing that we have is a trench and taper, where we will, because 9 times out of 10, the problem in the culvert, or the problem in the swale, is at the culvert. The ground has built up, dirt, grass has built up, and it's 9 times out of 10 at both sides of the culvert pipe. So we've initiated a new team called the hybrid team, and the hybrid team will go out and do a trench and taper. So they will go through with the vac truck, they will clean the culvert pipe, and they will do a small trench so that the water can flow and get through the culvert pipe to the other side. It's a small trench, it's probably about 8-10 inches wide in the front yard, and we do not sod when we do a trench, because it's a very narrow area that we do, instead of the regrade where we have the big grade all that comes through and remove sod, and then we'll replace that sod. So I hope that answers your questions. We don't just go out and periodically clean culvert pipes. Last year we got, I think it was 5,200 culvert pipes cleared, and there's about 46,000 of them out there. So again, culverts, the key factor of education is that residents need to understand it's the residents' culvert pipe. It is their responsibility to keep that clean.
They need to ask, do a permit for doing the culvert? No.
Not to clean the culvert or maintain the culvert. There's no permit required. If they're going to replace the culvert pipe, then they have to have a permit. Because what happens when you pull a permit to replace a culvert pipe, city engineers and surveyors determine at what elevation and what angle that culvert pipe needs to be. So they will provide a drawing with the permit that says it needs to be at this elevation on this side, this elevation at that side, so that water goes in the proper direction and it doesn't create either a significant low spot or a very high spot in the culvert or the swale run.
The city doesn't suggest or gives a list of possible contractors, right? No, we don't.
No, we do not provide a list of contractors. It would become unfair practices for the city to say, use this contractor versus this contractor. So it is up to the homeowner to find their own contractors. What we do refer them to is our business tax office. They do have lists of permitted contractors. All right. So the next thing we have to discuss is the committee had talked about a closure letter for the infill lots. So I provided the committee a copy of that closure letter. If you want, I may be able to pull it up. This is not my computer, so it's a little bit of a challenge. Let me pull it up real quick. So this is the letter we're proposing to send out, and we wanted to get the committee's input on the letter before they're mailed out. There's about 65 infill lot cases that have not been closed. Those are ones where it's water in my backyard. And this is the letter that we were proposing to send out. It gives them some idea as to why the accumulation of stormwater is likely in their yard. So it gives them some things to take a look at and what their next steps are. And it also provides them some remedies. So there are some remedies there that the residents can take a look at, such as relocating gutter downspouts and extending with extensions to convey the water to the front. Because, again, all water is supposed to flow to the front unless they have a canal or a ditch behind their house, in which case they could convey it to the back. Fill any low spots caused by compaction or settling or shifting soils or where trees or other large plants have been removed. Remove any high spots or other items that may be impeding drainage. Oftentimes what we saw is people have installed something, a shed or an above-ground pool or something that has now cut off water flow from the back to the front. Reestablish any berms that may have eroded or become compacted. These are the berms between the houses, especially the newer homes, where they have the berms so that they keep their water on their property. It is their responsibility to maintain those berms. They can install a swale in their side yard to get that water from the back to the front. A lot of times what we saw is there are high spots where somebody has wanted to extend landscaping along the sides of their homes or around the corner of their house, or they've put in the concrete curbing that has gotten in the way of water being able to move to the front swale. Consider yard drains or sump pumps if the backyard is just so low you can't get it to the front swale. We did see quite a few yards like that where over time they are sloping to the back instead of sloping to the front. And then if they do feel that they are getting water from a neighboring property, to contact code enforcement. But as you discussed with code enforcement, they are going to need some type of proof positive that there is flow from a neighboring property onto this property. So that's the letter that we're proposing. We wanted to get the committee's review. No. I think it's very comprehensive, pretty clear.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty consistent with everything that the committee has seen on the ones that you've reviewed.
Yeah. I think it's good. I can offer no improvement.
Don't recall anything, but we should probably go ahead and cover, it's not on the agenda, but we should probably cover the drainage evaluation report.
So most likely, if I may recommend, it is a pretty lengthy document. The committee may wish to just take a little time with it. The city manager has asked for the committee to review. This is a resident that has an open code enforcement complaint about water coming from the neighboring property onto their property. And they had an engineer provide them a report. And so the city manager just wanted to get the opinion of the committee on whether the report would be sufficient for the code enforcement or what the opinion of the committee was on the report.
But, you know, in light of any other proposals or any other business we have to take care of, can we have a few minutes to review it now rather than having to take it home as an open review it? Is everybody okay with that if we spend like a few minutes right now looking at it?
opinion.
This is the independent engineering report?
Yes. This the resident obtained this report from an independent engineering firm. They have a code enforcement case open.
Well, so the report states that tailwater was the major contributing factor, right? I mean, and there's nothing that we can do about that, right?
I haven't got to the point.
So I'm going to bring up the one map that they showed you. I can get that moved over. Hold on. Just. So if you look at figure 1.0, you can see the red dot is the location of the property. This is what we call ditch 10 that goes out to Graham Swamp and ultimately discharges out to the intercoastal waterway. So most of the city drains through Graham Swamp, which is this area that you see through here. This is all Graham Swamp. There is a, this is the canal that they were talking about. And all of that has to get out through Graham Swamp and through the woodlands, through Grand Haven, in order to get out to the intercoastal. So when they're talking about the tailwaters, they're talking about this canal was surcharged because the water couldn't get out fast enough with Hurricane Milton. That's what they're talking about with tailwaters. If you recall, during Hurricane Milton, this is Old Kings Road. There, this waterway goes under Old Kings Road and washed away portions of Old Kings Road that we had to do an emergency repair on. So that's what they're talking about when they're talking about the tailwinds. Or the tailwater, sorry. I can't answer that for you.
So the next thing that it stated contributing factor was a smaller culvert on the water, the drainage side.
Yes, so sir.
That seems like something that can be addressed.
So this address is, let me see if I can pull up my GIS maps. If I can, it would definitely help me explain what they're talking about.
A diagram.
This house is the second house from the end of the run before it discharges.
Okay.
So give me just a minute and I'll see if I can pull that up for you.
The drainage system observation on the part of the photograph, it says the static house is including the new home up to the waist at higher grade. So everything is higher than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big thing from the year lower than the other.
It's coming, I promise. It is on hold. The city just received this report. Let me get this over to your viewer. So this is our stormwater map. The culvert that they're talking about is the culvert at 70 Parati. And it is a 12-inch original. Homes originally built in Palm Coast prior to 2006 put in a 12-inch steel culvert pipe. At some point in time, this property had a 10-inch pipe partially inserted and grouted in that location, in the culvert. We have no record of it, don't know when it happened, but the resident has been given a courtesy notice, and they have already established a permit, and they have a contractor, so they're in the process of replacing that culvert pipe.
You know what year was built this house? I can't find it.
This house was built in the early 80s, I believe it was. Will increase the size of that culvert pipe.
Increase the flow.
That is what they're talking about in the report, is this culvert pipe. The city just replaced this pipe and this pipe that cross over Parati and across Persimmon. The pipe from here to the canal was lined and is already, according to the engineers, of sufficient size. These pipes were replaced, I believe it was earlier this year.
They have several empty lots nearby. However, the neighbors allege that the newly constructed residence to the west, higher elevation, contribute to flooding on the subject lot. Mostly because this 1980s.
So they're talking about 62, which is here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It looks like the 1980s. The laws were lower. We have the same problem like most of the other ones.
So, what is the city manager looking for?
They just wanted to know if you had any input. That definitely addresses one of the comments in the report, yes, ma'am. This is the house next door, and it has a berm between the two homes.
Mm-hmm.
The new home also has gutters that are plumbed to the front yard, so the gutters are not contributing to this.
So one of the conclusions, it states the adjacent west properties post-development grading has altered drainage flow paths, contributing to runoff towards 66 Parati Lane during high-intensity rain events. Corrective regrading or installation of grade separation features is recommended to restore pre-development drainage conditions. Isn't that berm doing that? I mean, am I looking at
that? That's my understanding, but again, I'm not an engineer.
Understood. Okay.
According to the photo, yes. I don't think code enforcement or the city manager asking the committee to make a recommendation either way.
Yeah.
Just if you had any questions or if you have a recommendation. They just wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to review the report. This is something similar to what may be required by a resident on a code violation case.
No, I don't have anything to add. I mean, we've voiced all of our observations, I think. And just, I don't know what could be done with an event like other things locally on the property or adjacent to the property that might be able to be done, but with the main contributing factor seems like it's those tailwaters, and I don't know if there's anything in the future that we can do system-wise. We're at the mercy of these large events?
Well, I think because this lot is very low, a solution can be a French drainage.
On-site? Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
On-site. To help the drainage to the main.
Get it to the front.
Yes.
That is one of the recommendations, yes, ma'am. There are yard drains already between the two properties.
Yeah.
they have not closed the case. Code enforcement has not closed the case.
I don't personally see anything that code enforcement could act on other than what is already being addressed, which is the neighbor's inadequate culvert pipe. Like, I mean, from the report, that's all that I see.
I did want to bring to your attention a couple other things that the city is working on. So we do have a couple of pipes that go under 95. They're designed to be, when this canal gets surcharged, they're designed to be pop-offs or emergency reliefs. And during Hurricane Milton, that was one of the emergency reliefs that came across here, washed out Old Kings Road, unfortunately. So we have a project going on right now. There are three of those pipes that go under and discharge that water to Graham Swamp under 95 and under Old Kings Road. You can see them. They're blue here, here, and here. We call them B1, 2, and 3 pop-offs. And we are currently having an engineer evaluate the capacity of Graham Swamp and its discharge, as well as the elevations and size of these pop-offs. So that work is currently underway, which would help with this situation. We also have another large project, because if you look at where this water goes under Colbert, mm-hmm. and then it goes around this way to St. Joe's and to the intercoastal waterway, this project is ongoing right now. There's construction going on Colbert Road to increase the size of the pipes under Colbert to enable this water to flow. I hate to use the word faster, but more efficiently.
Efficient.
And be discharged. The city also went through and cleaned this canal. This property is owned by FINE, the Florida Inland Navigation District. They allowed us to go in and clean this canal and make sure it was all clean and clear. So we have gone through and we've cleaned some canals. We've cleaned some waterways. This project is really going to provide quite a bit of relief to these neighborhoods. We have to be careful how much water we discharge into Graham Swamp currently, because it winds up flooding the woodlands over in this area. There was a lot of homes that also had flooding during Milton. The water really staged up. We had to close quite a few roads in that area as well. So that is one of the things that the city is working on. We are actively in construction for Colbert Road improvements, and we are looking at design options for the B1, 2, and 3 pop-offs off of that canal to try and relieve some of that tailwater component. I do not have anything on my list from the last couple of meetings. That is up to the committee. That is up to the committee.
Are we inviting more people to be part of our team?
We have been soliciting more applicants to be on the committee. We've not received any applications. So if I may, in order to sunset the committee early, It will need to be approved by City Council. So you'll need to make a presentation to City Council requesting them to sunset early. The committee is already scheduled to sunset in February.
At sunset, yes.
Yeah.
So,
unless Tony is not here.
Withdraw your motion.
Taken back.
I do not. Do we want to schedule a meeting or schedule if needed?
Yes, ma'am. And according to the ordinance, it says that you will meet monthly. I'll have to get clarification on February.
Well, you are correct, but if we're going to show up here, we should really talk about something. We're all going to... Yeah, we should do something if we're all going to show up. But I would agree. So let's schedule a meeting for December. And we'll... or the 16th work for me. So it's the 11th.
For me, the same 10 and the 16th.
And both work for you as well? Let's get it over with. The 10th.
The 10th.
So it's December 10th?
That's correct. Motion to adjourn.